Blog Talk Radio.
Take a licking. There is someone waiting who will hurry up and rescue you. Just call for Super Chicken.
Welcome to the Mana Pro Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer Radio Show, where we give away more chicken coops and chicken related prizes than anyone else on the planet. We are often imitated, but never duplicated. My name is Andy Schneider, but most know me as the Chicken Whisperer, author of the Chicken Whisperer's Guide to Keeping Chickens. My co-host is Pat Foreman, author of City Chicks, Chicken Tractor, and other great titles. Today is Friday, June 22nd, and I would like to thank all of you for tuning in this afternoon on Blog Talk Radio. This is a live radio show that is broadcast around the world. This radio show is all about keeping backyard poultry, show poultry, and living a self-sufficient lifestyle. Each week, we welcome experts in their field to share their knowledge about different topics, including backyard poultry, show poultry, heritage poultry, gardening, cooking, and you guessed it, living a self-sufficient lifestyle. Be sure to visit our website, chickenwhisperer.com, where you can follow us on Twitter and become a fan on Facebook. Once again, I would like to thank all of you for tuning in to Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer, brought to you by ManaPro. Ideal Poultry has been a family-owned and operated business since 1937. Their business is built on customer service and quality poultry, from rare white and brown egg layers to broilers, ducks, turkeys, and bantams. Ideal Poultry is the largest supplier of backyard poultry in the United States, shipping close to 5 million chicks annually. Visit them online at idealpoultry.com. That's idealpoultry.com. Hey, it's the Chicken Whisperer. If you're in the market for a new incubator, then look no further than GQF. They have a great selection of tabletop and cabinet-style incubators at prices you can afford. I love my GQF Genesis Model 1588. It has a large picture window and an automatic thermostat, which makes for a better hatch every time. Go pick out your new incubator at GQFradio.com. That's GQFradio.com. Critter-Cages.com is your one-stop shop for all your critters' housing needs. They stock a wide selection of supplies and equipment for rabbits, guinea pigs, hamsters, mice, rats, ferrets, chinchillas, chickens, and other small critters. Their chicken selection includes chicken barns, chicken coops, and chicken yards from top manufacturers. Your critters will love their selection of quality products, and you'll love their low prices. Visit them online at critter-cages.com. That's critter-cages.com.
Hi, I'm country music artist Nathan Osmond, and you're listening to Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer.
And the mighty bird against prejudice continues his fight for law and order. So when you hear that cry in the sky, you'll know it's Super Chicken.
Alrighty, thank you very much for staying with us today on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. We've got a special Friday show for you today. It is, of course, Fun Friday. Every Friday is Fun Friday. But since Peter Brown, the chicken doctor, since he was on the road on Monday, And over last weekend, we have rescheduled him for today. So it's going to be an educational fun Friday today. We've got several topics that he's going to be actually sharing his knowledge with us today. And so we'll bring him on here in probably about 10 minutes. We'll bring him on, and he can educate us and give us some of his knowledge about our wonderful pets in our backyard. Yep, our backyard chickens. So two things on the docket first this morning. Number one, want to re-mention the coupon code we've got for the month of June at eggcartons.com. And I will say this again for the 1 billionth time since we've started the show 4 years ago. We know times are tough and the economy is rough and we're all scraping to get by. So we're not saying run out and get something you don't need and spend money you don't have. But when you need something, we encourage you to visit our sponsors. Let them know you heard about it on the Chicken Whisperer radio show. We do appreciate that. But we have a month-long coupon code that we're using with eggcartons.com, which happens to be June Whisper. Not Whisperer, okay, but it's June Whisper, and you'll get 20% off. Basically, when you use the coupon code June Whisper on your purchase of $50 or more. So basically, the coupon reads $10 off any $50 purchase, which equates to 20% off. So if you've been wanting that awesome egg scale they have, maybe you've been meaning to get some bulk egg cartons, your chickens are now laying like crazy, you need some egg cartons, then you can save 20% there, and you can definitely do that. Let's see, egg wash that they've got. They've got incubator, coop door, you know, the supply, waterers, feeders, you name it, they've got it. Labels maybe for your egg cartons that you've already got. So go over there and visit eggcartons.com. Take advantage of the coupon code this month of June Whisper and get that awesome, awesome coupon validated. So the other thing is, yesterday, if you tuned in yesterday, you know that, and especially if you're a longtime listener, If you've tuned in for a long time, you know that about twice a year, it averages out twice a year, we do kind of a goodwill type of collection, a benefit, like a benefit show or you know that type of thing here. You know, it's just, you know, spread your bountiful blessings with others is what I believe in. And being that I'm so blessed to have lots of fans and this radio has a lot of reach and the Facebook fan page and the Twitter page, we utilize that to bring some stories that can all touch our heart that a lot of us can relate to, and then we take up donations. So if you tuned in yesterday's show was all about that, the one that we're doing now. In the past, we had a 16-year-old girl that was battling cancer. We had a barn that burned down in South Carolina. We helped that family out a whole lot. They lost a lot of livestock and a lot of equipment. and a few others. It's about twice a year we do this, and we're doing one right now, and I've posted it a few times on our Facebook page. If you've seen it a few times, I apologize, but you know, people are on Facebook different times of the day, and so you have to post it different times a day to try to reach as many people as you can. And so I'm just going to kind of scroll down, and I've got some good news that I didn't have yesterday about this, and we're we've done this to where we love to reach out to folks, and who doesn't love to help? It's really just it's a blessing. You know, people, there is still good in the world out there, I guarantee you. When we, you know, even though on your lowest of lows of your days, there is still good out there. You know, it's, you know, when I'm out in the garden this morning, I'm doing a little tilling and irrigating, and you know, you're singing the old hymn, you know, count your blessings, name them one by one, you know, there's even on your lowest lows, there is a high somewhere if you reach deep down. But I'll just read the post basically from our Facebook page, in all capital letters at the beginning. It says, "Open your hearts, dear fans. Twice a year, I choose to have a fundraiser to benefit a particular cause or person. My longtime fans know what I'm talking about and may remember some of my past fundraisers. It was brought to my attention that a fellow chicken lover and breeder is going through a tough time right now and could use our help. Melody Myers' husband, Keith, has been diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. She would love to take him on his dream trout fishing trip vacation so they can spend some good quality time together and reflect on the past and the future. We started accepting donations today, which was yesterday, on our radio show, and your support has already been amazing. I have located, and this is the new part, folks. This is new. Listen up. This is great news. Yesterday, I got on the phone. They live in western Tennessee, and they were looking at actually doing some trout fishing either in Arkansas or up in Wisconsin. And so I got on the internet, started looking for trout fishing guides and lodges that they could stay at so I could contact them and see what we could work out. Well, I located and contacted the owner of a river resort in Arkansas that is willing to help out with this benefit. I talked to him yesterday. He's willing to do whatever he can, okay? But right off the top, he is willing to donate a river-guided fishing trip. Not once, not twice, but every day that they are there. I talked with Melanie, and more than likely a long 8-hour fishing trip would not be conducive to someone who's got stage 4 cancer, but a half-day trip, a 3 or 4 hour trip each day would be doable, we talked about. And so so he is basically, right off the top, is going to be donating every single day a river guided tour with a guide and a boat and all the good stuff that he needs, the fishing gear, and that, and he's going to be donating that every day that they are there, which is absolutely awesome. It's $169 value each day, right off the top, that he's willing to throw in for this great cause. I said, you know what, we're trying to raise money. We're trying to raise, I figure, about $1,000 based on the rates of the lodge and food and gas there and back and things. So we're my goal mentally here is about $1,000 that we could raise. You're telling me we can't do that? Of course we can do that. We've done it before. 25,000 Facebook fans, you know, everybody gives, you know, 50 cents, that's 12 grand. Everybody gives a quarter. You know, again, all of those may not see our post. All of those may not be active. All of those may not even have a dollar. But, you know, even if you say 1% of our fans see this and do this, that would be, what, 250 people, 1% of 25,000, 250 people give $5. That's $1,000 right there. We can make this happen. I know we can do it. Chicken folks are the best, okay? So basically, I called her back. She was very, very emotional and gracious that we got this done and found a place. They looked at the website. They loved the place. So I want to kind of let y'all know that he's donating at least one river guided tour, 4-hour tour with a guide and a boat and everything each day. And their rates there are very affordable, which is great based on our donations. Their donations will go further. They can get a private log cabin there on the river, TV, I mean fully furnished. It's not like a sleeping bag log cabin. I mean fully furnished for about, I think it's $89 a night. Maybe it's $79, $80 a night. This is wonderful. There's a big lodge there. They have lunch and dinner every day, breakfast on the weekends, and we're going to try to get maybe some discounts on their meals while they're there. I'll talk to the manager again before we've invited them on the radio show next week to come share kind of how they're going to be participating and helping out with this benefit that we're doing. But the money donated goes straight to Melody and Keith. It doesn't come to me, and then I write them a check, and I have, you know, none of that. It goes straight into their personal PayPal account. There's no middleman. There's no, oh, we need to take out administration fees. Oh, we need to pay for this. Oh, we got to do this. No, none of that, okay? This is right to the person who needs it, right to the person who's going to be spending it to make this trout fishing trip come true. So that's Melody and Keith to use for their dream trip. So we want you to please open your hearts and wallets and please donate what you can. $2 will buy holy cow, it'll buy almost a gallon of gas to get there. It'll buy some canned corn to go trout fishing with. It'll maybe buy a lure possibly for them to, hey, even $2, $2, $10, $15, $25, $50, whatever you can muster. We would love for all of us to help make this dream come true. Let me tell you, Melody was selling all of her flock to try to raise money to take him on this trip. Now, like I said yesterday, what kind of life would that be? We know who have chickens, how an important part of that of our life is. Now, here, she's willing to sell her entire flock to get money to take him on this trout fishing trip, but then
she's lost something here. You know, her husband's already got, you know, stage four cancer. We're all praying for a miracle. Now she's selling off all her flock that she loves. You know, she needs that flock there to go outside, keep her mind focused, you know, to be out there and with peace and relaxation with her flock, keep her busy, the birds that she loves. By us raising this money, she won't have to sell her flock off, and then we can and then they can go on this wonderful dream vacation. You can donate by using PayPal. So it doesn't come to me, it goes right to them. Donate by using PayPal. This is legitimate. This is not a scam. I guarantee you 100%. Their email address, when you go to paypal.com, you go to www.paypal.com. At the very top, it says send money. There's a little button, send money. You click on that and just follow the prompts. It's that easy. And when it says, where do you want to send money to, in the little box that says send to or to, you put their email address in. And I'm going to give that to you right now. It's Myers2008, Myers, 2008, at Hughes.net, Hughes.net. Okay, Myers, Myers, 2008, at Hughes, Hughes.net. And then from, of course, you'll put your email in there, to it's from. And right under that, there's a place to leave an encouraging note. So you want to make sure that you leave them a note. You know, I said something like, hey, keeping you and your family in our prayers. There's another button you want to be aware of there at PayPal, and it's you're not buying something and you're not making a payment. You're actually sending money to friends and family, and apparently that reduces the fee, or it makes it no fee if you pay PayPal to PayPal. There's no fee involved there. If you do not have a PayPal account and are just going to pay basically debit card or Visa credit card or something, Visa, MasterCard, if you're going to pay by debit card or a credit card and you do not have a PayPal account, there is, I think it's $1.75 fee that PayPal takes for that. So if you want to donate $10, you might want to donate $11.75, and that covers the $1.75 fee, and $10 gets to go to the trip. So, but if you're paying PayPal account to PayPal account, I believe any, say, paying family or friends, I don't believe there's a fee involved there. But so I just wanted to bring those two things. One, the coupon code for eggcartons.com. And then this that we started yesterday, and again, we've been posting it on our Facebook page, and we hope that everybody is, whatever they can. I mean, $2 and 2 minutes of your time can really make a difference. $2 and 2 minutes of your time. So so we got it to do that. Let's see what we got here. Okay, I got a little note here. Let me just answer this little message here. Someone was asking, they're trying to get in the chat room. They sent me a messenger on Google Chrome, and it's not letting them actually enter the chat. It won't let them log in. I'm going to put try Firefox. There we go. No problem whatsoever. Okay. So I wanted to make sure and go and firsthand get that information out there to you before the show continued. And again, we hope you'll reach into your hearts and your wallets and make this dream trip a reality and come true for these folks and get that taken care of. So we would stage four cancer. We've got to help them out. So we've all been touched by someone with that. All righty. Thank you very much, Renegade Chicken, for posting that in the chat room as well. The chat room is really filling up today. It's Fun Friday, and we've got a great show. We've got Peter Brown, the chicken doctor, is joining us. He is now on the lines. He is the founder of First State Vet Supply, and several topics. Hey, I wanted to mention this, too. I'm willing to bet, let me go over here in the chat room real quick, that nobody in the chat room can guess where I had lunch today. It's kind of off the wall. Live in a very, very small town in South Georgia. Population of this town is about 502. And that's since we moved here. It was 498. And then the three of us moved. I guess 501, really. It was 498. Me, Caleb, and Jen moved here. 1, 2, 3. That makes it 501, and I know at least three people have already gone to jail this year, so that brings it back down to 498. But so there's not a lot of places. There's basically two convenient stores, a city hall, and a post office. That's it. And the convenience store is not like a Kangaroo or a Circle K. I mean, no, they're small town little convenience stores. So, no, it wasn't Sonic. I'd have to drive about 35, let's see, Cordial. No, there's one in Americus. I'd have to drive about a 30-minute drive, maybe 35-minute drive to the closest Sonic. So it wasn't. But ready for this? It's funny. In town, I guess maybe other than the two small convenience stores, there's, I guess, one business in town, and that is the nursing home. There is a nursing home here, and it's actually a nursing home slash dementia center, so I'll probably be there one day. And right down the street, you walk, I mean, just right down the street. It's probably a half a mile away. And I never dreamed about going to the nursing home to get lunch, but there's a few local folks, not a lot of people partake in this, but there's a few. And I heard a neighbor and a member of our church and the lady who happens to be the city clerk here mentioning that she goes up there and gets lunch every day. And she's a senior. And so lunch here at the nursing home is, I may have said funeral home earlier, and that's not funeral home, nursing home and dementia center. She goes up and gets lunch. She's a senior for $2. And so it's basically a meat, two potatoes, a roll or cornbread, dessert, and a drink for $2 if you're a senior. Or she said it's $2, but she said that maybe because, you know, if you're a senior, that may be the price. And so I went over to the main office, I guess it was about a week ago, and I said, hey, Betty and some others have told me about your good food here. You would think it would be like hospital food, but I wanted to partake in that. So what you do is you go to the main office and you just buy a roll of tickets. Now, for me and Jen, we're not seniors, so it's $4. And each ticket is $4. So I think I bought 10 tickets for $40 or something. So that gets us 5 meals, and it's $4 a person. So, but for $4, you get a meat and 2 vegetables and a cornbread or a roll and dessert and a drink for $4, and it is quite good. Last Friday, it was fried fish and grits and cornbread and coleslaw and lemon bar for dessert and lemonade. But $4, you can't beat that at all. So, this, you know, you can go for lunch, breakfast, lunch, or dinner. Obviously, lunch or dinner is the better value if you're paying $4 and pay $4 for breakfast, but... But, yeah, so who in the world can say they have lunch at the nursing home? So, yep, $4. And you can't beat that. There's not many places to go. I'll go through the cafeteria line any day. And so far, it's been very good. Last Friday, the fish was a little salty, but everything else was really good. And today has been really, really good. So who'd have thought CW enjoying lunch in the little hometown by eating at the nursing home. Yep, that's small town America for you. All righty, let's get over here to the phone lines and bring on Peter Brown, also known as the Chicken Doctor. Peter, welcome to the show.
Hey, Andy, how's it going today?
It's going pretty good. Man, it has been hot yesterday. I worked about 3 hours in the garden. Once the sun kind of went just past the big oak trees, I got out there, got the tiller back from the shop, and I did about 3 hours of tiller work. Jen went out and started picking some black-eyed peas. And she picked up picked a good mess of black-eyed peas yesterday, actually. But we got to pick some more. They are ready, and our zipper peas are ready, and we got to go back down the green bean rows. But since I had it all weed-eated out there and got the grass down to the ground and manageable, I said, man, I got to get out there and tiller, so till up my rows so the grass doesn't come back. So, and then I was out there this morning doing the second half of the garden, and then I had to irrigate. It's so, so hot and so, so dry. And I just had to get another 3-4 hours of irrigation out there on the crops. And, you know, I'm looking on Craigslist day and night to try to find a good used freezer. Our freezer is full with squash and rutabaga and everything from the fall garden. And I'm just going to have to get I'm going to have to bite the bullet, my neighbor said, and get me either a chest freezer or a big upright freezer. So I hate to pay retail. So I'm looking on Craigslist for one, I found some great deals there on occasion, so some really steals. In fact, I found a steal last night on a huge chest freezer. The thing is about 6 feet long. It's mammoth. It's the biggest one they make. Unfortunately, it's up in Dahlonega, Georgia, which is the extreme different part of the state. And they said, hey, we're moving. We can't take this with us. It's only a year old. Come and get it. $100. And the thing, I know retail is somewhere between $550 and $650. And here this thing used 1 year, and they're wanting $100 just so they can move and not have to tow it with them. And I thought, who do I know in that area I could pay an extra $50 to go pick that sucker up? But yeah, just you know, you find deals like that. Everybody knows on Craigslist every now and then. Just like I found that plow wheel and that cultivator week before, so for Father's Day. But so I need a freezer. We're putting up so much food, which is a blessing. I won't have to buy canned goods for probably the next year at least. But I know what's in it, and I know I put it in my body. There's no chemicals, there's no bug spray, there's no weed spray on them. So just one of those things. So you've got several topics you're going to talk about with us today a little bit. You're going to touch a little bit on this heat wave, talk a little bit like we talked last time, maybe about chicken pox and a few more things.
Yeah, I've been experiencing, as you all know, a lot of people call in different abnormalities and so on, and I try to, in my mind, sort them out as to what might be more important to most people rather than some isolated incident. And we are seeing an awful lot of chicken pox, so much so that, you know, I usually, depending on the expiration date of a particular vaccine, when I buy vaccine, I'll buy it all at once. And I sold out at the beginning of this week already. And it's just been, you know, flying out of here. It's becoming more and more of a problem. And it seems like the people that I've been dealing with this are just not aware of, you know, how to control it, didn't realize how it was spread, and so on and so forth. So I just wanted to, first off, put that out there as a reminder to everybody that nobody gets cozy with this disease till it jumps up and bites you. And if you're in the show arena and this disease strikes your flock, it's not so much that you might lose some, which is certainly possible with the disease, but the disfigurement of the birds generally will disqualify them from the show arena. So if you're having them as pets, it's ugly to see your pet go through a case of either the dry pox and certainly the wet pox. They're two different ones. Can have both at the same time, which is just miserable. Those of us that can remember our days of our childhood, when you did have chicken pox yourself, it was not a fun time. And neither is it a fun time for your birds either. So vaccination is generally your best route of protection. It is spread by mosquitoes. And be aware that just because it's broad daylight out and hotter than Hades doesn't mean that the mosquitoes have gone in for the day. Mosquitoes, generally, there are those that come out at night. There are those that come out during the day. So from that standpoint, you can't necessarily get away from it. But certainly they're out at night, and your birds are prime targets. They are brought to your birds by the carbon dioxide that they give off when they breathe, so there's kind of no getting away from it, no hiding. There are things you can do to slow it down or mitigate it or in some cases prevent it from happening altogether. Number one way of doing it is to vaccinate. The number two way to do this, and I've talked about this product before, I don't sell it, but I am a big fan of this particular product. And that's a product called Mosquito Barrier. And for those who are interested in rearing all of their birds naturally, this is a garlic-based product that comes out of California. You can Google it online, and you can go to their website and see all of the different accolades that have been put on this product. I can't remember how long ago I sold it, but it's got to be at least 10 years ago. I sold a good bit of it, and then it just got non-competitive for me to have it shipped in from California. And at that time, the smell was able to permeate the bottle, and about got run out of Dodge over at the warehouse because it stunk so bad. Well, you know, when you got 20 cases of this stuff, and it's in quarts and gallons, and you've got, you know, maybe 10 or 15 cases of each of that stuff hanging around, and it's all giving off this this garlic odor. And nobody was happy with me anyway, let's put it that way. So it was that and a bunch of other reasons. As more and more people got to, you know, the price dropped out of it. It wasn't as, you know, you just couldn't sell it for what it was worth. And but at any rate, it's out there for you. It goes a long way. A quarter of it, if my memory serves me correctly, diluted with water, sprayed properly on your premises, will do about an acre and a quarter. I believe it was 5 acres to the gallon. So it's a product that can do you a lot of good. And do it all naturally. If it's done properly, you will not experience the garlic odor near so much. There might be a faint smell of garlic, but it shouldn't be bad. You can't put it on during the heat of the day because it will bake like a pizza then and stink of an Italian restaurant maybe or a pizzeria. But so you can do some things to mitigate the situation. The other way you can do it is to clean out all your gutters, leave no standing water if it has rained in your area. And mainly what mosquitoes care for is brackish water. They'll not generally go and lay their eggs and hang out in the fresh water. So if you've got a stream or a pond on your property, about 3 foot off of that shoreline is going to be the area where the mosquitoes will breed. Or if there's a bunch of debris out in the middle of the pond where the water is allowed to become brackish and so on, they'll be out there. The nice thing about it is you can use this mosquito barrier in there, not harmful to fish, and so on. And they give you directions how to use it, how to dilute it, and so on and so forth. It is just a great product. And, again, I don't sell it, but it's a product that I think people who are in mosquito-prone areas and subject to the pox or something, you can do it.
It's not harmful to fish, and yet when you catch them and cook them, you don't have to add garlic to the party. It's hot, natural garlic flavor when you fry up those fish from the pond.
It's very possible. But in the scheme of things, those are some things you can do to lessen the chances of pox coming in, and in some cases literally destroying a flock. Wet pox gets in the mouth, down the throat, over the top of the glottis, which is where the bird breathes, on the tongue. It's just a miserable disease for a bird or even humans to get it. Those are the things that you can do. No old tires full of brackish water, old buckets that need to be turned over. The old bird bath, that the only time it gets any rain is any water is when it rains and so on, and it just sits there and turns nasty, becomes a breeding ground for them. Keep all your weeds cut down around your coops and around your property as far away from your chicken coop as you can. The lower the grass, the better. These mosquitoes will go down and drink water off the top of the grass and so on and so forth. So just a few things you can do to help yourself out rather than get some of these diseases. If you should have birds that come down with the disease, there basically is nothing you can do for that particular bird. But what you'll want to do is get some iodine and get some Q-tips, saturate the Q-tip with the iodine, apply the iodine directly to the scab and let the scab absorb it. A lot of folks may not know it, but iodine is viricidal when it comes in direct contact with a virus. And the way the pox works, once it gets in the body, it comes back out in the form of that scab, and that scab is just loaded with virus. So don't pick the scab off. Just let it fall off. And then you do the iodine treatment once a day, and generally that'll dry up and go away. And it may or may not leave a pock mark on the bird at that area. We generally don't see pox on the scaled legs. It is possible, it does happen, but it is more rare. We generally will see this on the comb, the wattles, the eyelids, and facial areas. And again, the wet pox in the nostrils, in the eyes, roof of the mouth, tongue, down the back of the throat, just nasty, nasty stuff. So if you want to do some things for your birds, there are some things you can do there. Vaccination is quite simple. The vaccine runs somewhere in the vicinity of $15 a bottle. There's enough there to do 1,000 birds. Once you reconstitute it to a liquid, you've got about 2 hours with the pox. Very hardy virus. You don't want to use any of the vaccinations at the same time. Pox is almost like the plague. You want to give it plenty of room, and you really don't want to get it started in your flock. But vaccination is a what we call a wing web stab, and with the vaccine will come the diluent to extend it out to 1,000 doses, the vaccine wafer, and it must include the two-pronged plastic-handled stabber. Now, I know we've talked about this before, about how to do this, but it's real, real simple. The place where you're going to do this is look at the bird and where the wing attaches to the bird. That's the first joint. The next joint out is where the web of the wing is. It is on the trailing edge of the wing, which means it's on the back side of the wing. So if you pull the wing out, you'll see that first joint away from the body. But from the underside of that, there is almost a triangular-looking piece of skin, and it's skin only. There's no bone there. The bone's in front of the skin at the joint. And from that underside, there are downy feathers. On the top side, there are hard feathers. So from the underside of that wing web, you're going to pull some feathers out equal to about the size of a nickel in diameter, and you're going to take your vaccine. You're going to have it mixed. You're going to take the stabber. You're going to dip it into the vaccine liquid. You're going to drag the two prongs across the neck of that bottle to take off any excess vaccine. And then in one quick motion, and I can't emphasize this enough, and if you think I'm kidding, next time I see you, and I'll take one of these stabbers and we'll try to put it in your finger or in the web of one of your fingers in between your two fingers. See how you like it pushed in very, very slow so it doesn't hurt. It's a jab. You're going to take that stabber and just push it as quick as you can and as hard as you can, because that skin is very tough, and you're going to push it in until the plastic part of that stabber touches the skin. Then you're going to pull it right back out. The bird may wince. It generally doesn't cry out. It happens that quick. If you try to take that stabber and push it gently through there like you're not hurting them, they will squawk, flap, kick, do everything else, and it hurts like hell. And I just can't be more adamant about that. So you're not doing them any big favor by trying to do it gingerly. It's a quick in and out motion. There should be no blood to speak of at all. There's a chance there's a capillary blood vessel there you might touch on. No big deal. There are billions and billions of birds over the years that have been vaccinated this way, and there are generally no complications. About 10 days afterward, you're going to go around. You don't have to pick up every bird. It's better if you do, but most people don't. And you're going to look for a browning over of these two little tiny holes that you just made with this vaccine, and that indicates a take. It's a little scab that starts to form. It may go from one of the holes to the other. It may be just a raised, brownish-looking scab right at the spot, and that indicates the vaccine is doing its job. It has taken on the bird. Now, reasons why the vaccine wouldn't take: you didn't pull out enough feathers, your aim was lousy, and you vaccinated the feathers and not the bird. The vaccine may have not been handled properly during shipment, by you handling it yourself, by mixing the vaccine and going walking the dog. And look, I bring these things up because people do it, okay? I mean, I've had people call in here for all kinds of reasons and tell me what they do after they either mixed vaccine or done some other crazy thing. So I'm just putting it out there for you. Turn off your cell phone and don't have anything other than proper vaccination of the birds in mind, and you should never have a problem. The other reason is the bird could be non-refractory, which means that it won't have a response to the vaccine, is because there may be the bird had pox once before, and generally when they're naturally infected, immunity is for life. Doesn't matter, vaccinate everybody. That way everybody's covered. If the vaccine didn't take on a bird that had enough antibodies there to protect itself, no big deal. Okay, so that pretty much covers the gauntlet on pox. There is a difference between the pox vaccine for young birds and old birds. And I'll just throw this out there. For many, 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 many years, I have recommended to people who have an outbreak to start with the young bird pox first. And that is because, by rule of thumb, you don't vaccinate birds that already have it. Well, if your outbreak just started, and you've got two birds out of 50 that are showing symptoms, we don't know where the other birds stand. We don't know whether they've been infected. We don't know whether they're developing it. We can't see it. So So if you visibly can't see any pox symptoms in those birds, the idea then is to vaccinate them with the young bird pox. And the reason for this, it's a very mild vaccine compared to the old bird pox. And if the bird is developing it, and unbeknownst to you, you're at least giving them a mild vaccination that shouldn't really cause a lot of trouble. If you were to go with the old bird, which is much stronger, and that bird was developing the disease itself, it could make it significantly worse. And the downside to this is that in about 3 months or so, you're going to have to come back and vaccinate all the birds, irregardless of whether they had pox, didn't have pox, vaccinated with the young bird pox. You're going to have to come back with the older bird pox and go all over it and do it again to get the longevity out of it, because the other one is so mild that you'll not get the full-term benefit of the vaccination, but you should get the benefit of not having the whole flock break with pox because of the vaccine. So that is possible, that is doable. It's done all the time, and I don't know of anybody that hasn't been successful doing that. Doesn't mean the bird's not going to get pox here regardless of vaccination and they were developing it. Just means they might not get it near as bad as they would had you used the old bird vaccine. Some people don't want to spend the money, and it's up to them. But from my perspective, if your birds aren't worth another $15, maybe it's time to have a yard sale and not have birds. But that's my perspective. That's pretty much it on the pox. I don't know, Andy, if you've got any questions. Anybody in the chat room, anywhere else, got any questions? We'll move on to something else.
Nope, don't think so in pox, regarding the pox right now. New Dawn Farm Girl had maybe an unrelated question, but while I can scroll up to it, she says, how rare is necrotic enteritis in chickens?
Very rare, especially in the backyard crowd. We see that more in a commercial flock, usually caused by Clostridium perfringens. And there's even some controversy now about that. So there's a lot going on with the enteritis type things in the commercial world. But generally we don't see that. And I would rather have a laboratory diagnosis before I proceeded to think that that's what it was. There are a lot of other things, a bad E. coli infection, a bad salmonella infection, infection with coccidiosis can make a person think upon necropsy that you know they have necrotic enteritis. Don't forget, coccidiosis will break down the intestine. You'll get bleeding. You'll get bloody, cheesy cores and that kind of thing. So it can look like a whole host of other things. You just have to know and be able to look at it and then look at it under a microscope and see if the oocysts for the cocci are there. But as a general rule, that is somewhat rare in the backyard situation or the small flock situation. If we had more information, we might be able to be a little bit more help there. Still there, Andy? Did you go somewhere, Andy?
Oh, Okay, I'm back. Sorry.
I wonder where you went.
Yep. I had an issue there, and all of a sudden I had to go back and get my switchboard back on. So I'm alive.
Left me hanging, did you?
What I was saying
is, if we had more information as to what makes that person think that they might have necrotic enteritis, if it was lab diagnosed, then they need to start looking at the issues associated with, you know, how it came about. Sometimes the susceptibility of birds to necrotic enteritis or enteritis itself is an immune system issue. Not always, but it can be. We see it many, many times in broiler chickens where they get this hemorrhagic dermatitis that is generally caused by a clostridium that takes over because of the fact that the bird has an impaired immune system. It's quite common. I think it was last year we did talk about infectious bursal disease or Gumboro disease, and that would be the culprit as far as the destruction or impairment of the immune system. Sometimes Merrick's disease could be immunosuppressive at the same time. So the combination of the two or either one by itself can bring about these things. Kind of like HIV in humans. It's not the disease virus itself that'll kill you. It's the things that hang on to it that it allows to happen because of the impairment of the immune system, funguses and things to take place within the human body and other bacterial and or viral, you know, problems. So it's kind of like the same thing. So a lot of that, as far as hemorrhagic or necrotic enteritis will come about through that mechanism, but generally we're looking at Clostridium perfringens as being the culprit in that, and I would want a definitive diagnosis before I jumped off on that train.
Yeah, that's what I saw, you know, like back when I was doing the medic, you know, in Atlanta, you know, we had the occasional HIV patient, and it wasn't that. It was the virus or the pneumonia or something that, because of the immune system was so frail, that it would seem to be something else that would do that. So yeah, absolutely. They're talking about some bumblefoot in the chat room, and I have to tell you, ironically, yesterday I went to get the dogs from the vet. You know, we were on the road for a couple of days ourselves, and then got back, and of course everything down here is closed on Wednesdays or closes at noon on Wednesdays, couldn't get the dogs till yesterday, and I went to the vet and was picking them up, and the vet came out and she was like, "Hey, I got to show you something. I got a bumblefoot rooster back here." And I said, "Okay," so I went back there, and I'm going back today to get pictures. It was the worst case of bumblefoot I have ever seen. I was like just shaking my head, going, "How long did this take place before they, you know, acted on it, before they saw something was wrong, before they felt like they could do something about it?" This was absolutely horror. This rooster's foot was so big, and you ready for this? The infection got so much in there and grew so much and got so big that it just grew and grew and grew and grew that it dislocated the center digit from the foot itself.
Wow, that's pretty bad.
It was so bad, it just completely dislocated that center toe digit from the foot bones and everything. And so she had to enter from both. She cut it open, you know, cleaned it out. She had to go in. She hated to mess with the pad of the foot, but she just had to get in there and do that. So she's got to where she went straight through from one side really to the other, so she could flush and irrigate and clean it out. I mean, all the way down to the bone. It was absolutely horrible. Worst case I've ever seen. I'm going by there today. I got to run back into town and run a couple of errands later this afternoon. I'm going to stop. I said I got to get a picture of this for educational purposes, but it was really, really, really bad. It was just strictly forgotten about or wasn't noticed and for a long, long time. So, but hey, nonetheless, it's there. He's a good old boy. He actually lets them do whatever they need to do. and doesn't really peck or gets aggressive or anything. So, but I'm definitely going to go get a picture. I'll post it on Facebook maybe over the weekend, maybe tonight if I have some time, and so people can see, hey, this is what happens when you don't, you know, look at your birds on a regular basis, inspect them, pick them up, you know, like you always recommend. You know, go out there, pick up your birds, look at them, you know, look, you know, inspect them, you know, the whole nine yards.
Well, and, you know, you're right, but you know, here's the other thing, you know, and I realize not everybody has the same amount of time to do something, but how many times have I said, you know, take the 5-gallon bucket, sit out there right in the middle of the chicken, and just watch them walk around. If you can't do it for about 10, 15 minutes a day, and try to make sure you take a look at everybody, but you can't tell me that with this foot of this bird being bad, as bad as you have described, that they couldn't, somebody couldn't see that. Because,
right.
You know, I mean, that bird had, you know, it's like walking with a bowling ball on your foot.
Oh, yeah, it was horrible.
I mean, it's not like, you know, it's so subtle. I can see a bird who has not developed a limp but has a black scab on the bottom of the footpad. I can understand that. You know, I can understand that. But by the other side of the coin, you know, we've talked about it many times. You know, anybody that's been in the military, Air Force, Navy, Air Wing, and been involved with airplanes or worked for the airlines out on the flight line, you look around, see what kind of junk's laying around so it doesn't get sucked up in an engine or something. Well, it's no different here. If you've got a yard that's got a lot of sharp stones in it, or the birds are out foraging in an area where there's a lot of, you know, briars and rust up, you know, maybe you ought to take a look at cleaning up some of it if bumblefoot is your problem. Because people are looking for a wound, and that's not the way it generally happens. This is generally just an abrasion. This is kind of like sliding into second base. You don't take all the skin off your knee or your shin, but it's just enough to irritate you. You know, when you take a shower, it burns to high heaven. And it's same thing with them. It's not going to bleed, but it's going to allow bacteria a port of entry into that foot. And then, you know, I mean, the temperature's right, the moisture's right, and then it just grows out of control. And I'm seeing an awful lot of this. This is the worst year that I have ever seen for bumblefoot. I don't know what the heck's going on, but I have spoken with at least one person this week that has at least 5 birds with the same problem.
Sheesh.
5, not one, 5. And these people that have these birds are good caretakers. They're generally astute. They're paying attention. They've done a lot of different things with their birds. So I don't know what's going on. You know, it's kind of weird. They can't figure it out either. And we had a big discussion about things to look for. This this is a little bit off of what we were going to talk about. But really, it doesn't matter to me. Whatever's pertinent, we'll talk about. But you know, this can be a perch, a roost that's too high. And I've seen people, you know, because birds like to be high. And they'll take, and even to make more room in a coop for birds at night, they'll move the roost up. That's okay as long as what they're jumping down into when they get off that roost is not going to harm their feet. This comes from a more coarse wood shaving. This can come from all kinds of different types of bedding. So just be careful what you do. Be cognizant of it. Look around. If it doesn't look right, change it. You know, even sand, birds walking on sand can give that abrasion to the bottom of the footpad. I've seen that happen. You know, people don't understand that either, but it is an abrasion. Go walk on the sand on the beach all day long. See, feet don't hurt around the bottom of the night.
Okay? No kidding.
Same thing, and you wouldn't think it. You know, it just wouldn't. You say, well, it's small. It is an abrasive, and continually walking on it, that type of a situation will cause a lot of trouble. So it's just... you know, for the most part, trying to pay attention to as much as you possibly can. The bigger the flock, the worse it gets as a general rule. It's harder to see everybody. Sometimes people have their favorites and they only pay attention to those. I've seen it that way. You know, there's 5 or 6 birds in a flock that might be the favorites, and the other 15 or 20 are just birds. And so those birds, while they get the same feed and the water and the same general care, they're not handled anywhere near as much as the 5 or 6 or 2 or 3 favorites. So we do see that out there. But and some of these cases are just nasty to get the birds over. They just It just doesn't want to go away. I've got at least one case where we're treating with two different antibiotics and pulse dosing. And pulse dosing means giving a much larger dose in the beginning, trying to give it more often during the day to keep the blood levels up. It was just nasty. It's getting out of control in a sense. Just I've never seen it this bad. Basically, I would have to look back and say this year being the worst, but probably over the course of my whole career of dealing with this, it's probably the worst I've ever seen it, with so many birds and different people being affected by it. Now, you telling me about this bird, this is one I haven't even seen, but I could just imagine, because I've seen a lot of others. I guess that the bottom line is they at least did the right thing. They took it to a vet who was at least willing to look at the bird and take care of this thing and straighten it up. But they're still not out of the woods, because now you got to let this thing heal, and that could be good.
That's what is your experience on that, about how long? She was asking me that and picking my brain if there's anything else that, that she could do. And I said, we had talked about it on the show a few times. And our main concern was the length of time, based on the length that went on and the extensive surgery that she had to do and enter the foot from both sides, that it's going to take, a couple of 3 weeks for this to heal back up, maybe longer.
I would say a minimum of that. And what I'll do, if you want to, I will, I've got your email here, and I'll shoot you my article on Bumblefoot, and you can give it to her. If she wants to use it, fine.
I'd love to. Then I'll print it out and take it to her today.
Yeah, and I'll do that here. Whenever you go to break, I'll try to get that done, and then we can get on with whatever else we want to talk about. But it's interesting that somebody did bring up the enteritis thing, because that actually plays into the when you asked me this morning for a topic, which, by the way, took me by surprise just a little bit. I got up this morning and I went to my computer. It was right around 6 o'clock when I went to the computer. I opened up my email and I saw that. I said, that's interesting. I didn't know I was supposed to be on today, but that's okay. It's okay. As long as I don't have, and I did, I want you to know, Mr. Andy, that I did change my whole day around to do this. I just want you to know. I postponed my cardiac rehab session from this morning till after work's done this afternoon or early evening.
Really?
Oh, yes. Why not? I'm good to go now. I'm on top of the world. I am on top of the world. I've lost 22 pounds.
Oh, man.
And getting better every day. And, I set some very, lofty goals for myself. And, there are multiple ones. And so far, so good. Knock on wood. And I figure this way, and I said this to somebody else this morning too, and I've got some information based on our trial going on up in Massachusetts as well. I've been in contact with that individual, and we'll discuss that somewhat. But I'm on top of this, and I've just I figured I was killing myself before and not even knowing it. I mean, I've had this discussion with my GP and stuff, and I didn't see it coming, no family history and everything else. So being a somewhat intelligent person, I think I got a couple of brain cells up there still functioning, I've just decided that I am not going to help myself out. If the man upstairs wants me, he will take me at his convenience.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the way it'll be, whether you're on a good diet, poor diet, or otherwise. So I was given this other opportunity, and I am not going to urinate on it in any stretch of form. So I've just...
Amen.
It's not even a diet. It is a total lifestyle change.
Mm-hmm.
I do not expect one person to follow in my footsteps, because everybody's an individual. You can't change somebody else's habits.
No.
But I can change my own, and that's what I've done. And we'll see. I go for, kind of weird. I go for a stress test on Monday afternoon, which is no big deal. It's just a regular stress test. And you have to do that from exiting this cardio rehab. See, I've gone from phase two now to phase three.
Okay.
So when you go to phase three, you're not monitored all the time, but they look at all the parameters. In other words, I had a stress test going into that, and then I have the one going out. And then next Friday, I have a echocardiogram, which kind of will look at the condition of the heart, how much blood the heart is actually pumping when it does pump out, how much of that damage to the heart has been repaired. And then it'll also be able to look at how much of the other blockage, whether it's still there, has been reduced yet at all, And that's the thing that will excite me. And if it isn't, I'll just tighten up what I'm doing. That's all, because it is fixable, and it's our Western diet. But I'm not on a diet because I'm never hungry. That's the interesting thing. I just eat so much food every day, it isn't funny. So now for me, it's kind of like portion control, you say. And I don't eat cardboard, and I eat things that are very nutritious. And I think you'll like this I wouldn't call you a backyard gardener. Maybe in your backyard, but I've seen that plot. That's pretty damn big. No, that's a little bit. We'll call you a mini farmer.
There you go.
I just joined a community supported agriculture farm here.
Awesome.
Every week, yep. You might want to consider that down where you are as a not only as an income generator. Of course, it may not fly where you are, but. I'm late getting into it, so they prorate it, but it's going to cost me $380, and I will get a box of whatever produce is available on that farm from now through November. Every week, fresh off the farm, and I went and looked at the current offering, and what's interesting, it'll introduce me to things that I never would have thought of eating.
Right.
Arugula, I haven't got a clue. I've heard of it, but we're going to find out. Let me see, bok choy. Maybe I don't like it. I told Tammy, I said, if we don't like it, we won't have to do it next year. And if we don't like it, the rabbits and the squirrels have a bowl with it, And if they don't like it, that's okay, too. They don't have to eat it. But, no, I look forward to all of it. And there's a whole lot of stuff that's in this thing. Fresh carrots and the picture that they have up on the website is of the current week's offerings, and it looks awesome. Napa cabbage, I've never heard of. But I've been introduced in the last few weeks and months to things that I never thought I'd put in my mouth. So just from a standpoint of being a repetitive plain Jane eater.
Right.
I was just introduced to quinoa. It's kind of some kind of a little thing that sprouts or whatever. I don't even know what the hell it is, but I ate it. Wasn't all that bad, and it was my niece, her daughter, was eating. I figured the baby was eating. It can't be all that bad. And their father is an executive chef for a restaurant in Philadelphia, and. So he told me how to cook it and what to do with it and so on and so forth. So and the other thing, I like beets, but I've only over the years eaten basically pickled beets. So I had roasted beets this past week, and really couldn't get enough of it. So it's kind of cool. A lot of things, my taste buds are different now because I use no salt.
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of things, are totally different. I know this is not part of the show today, but so I'm on top of the world as far as I'm concerned. I'm, in my opinion, at this point, I'm probably the healthiest I've been in 15 years and didn't even realize it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it is a dramatic lifestyle change, and anybody ever wants any information about heart disease, I'm going to be your guy because I've got the real deal stuff, the stuff that'll help you. And
there's a lot of experts out there that have been in cardiac all their life, and they say that it truly can be reversed.
Yeah, and don't get stuck on the fact that it's all about your cholesterol level. That's not true.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it is a multifaceted problem that cholesterol is an integral part of, but it's not the only part of it.
Mm-hmm.
And while I have reduced mine significantly, I have a war on fats, I have a war on sodium, and I have a war on cholesterol. All you have to do is a reasonable person, and I realize there's some foods you're going to eat that have cholesterol in them. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is if you limit the amount you have that you take in, it makes sense to me because your body produces all you need. So that's kind of like putting more cement in the hole when it's full. It doesn't make sense to me. Why would you keep putting more in? If your body's struggling now to get it out and you keep putting more and more in all the different types of foods that you eat that are laden with this stuff, I don't understand that. So now that I'm very cognizant of that, and I know it's easy to say, yeah, he had a heart attack, now he's on the wagon. Yeah, okay, that's fine. I'll go along with that. But my goals are clear cut, and my goals are never to have another heart attack. been there, done it, don't like it, sucks, not doing it. Okay? Mm-hmm. The other one is never to have angina pain, which I don't have. The other is never to open my nitroglycerin tablet bottle. Now, technically, I've opened the bottle because I have it on every keychain that I own, so that whatever keys I pick up, wherever I'm at, in case I need it, I got it. But my goal is never to have to use it, okay, to keep my cholesterol down, to keep my weight down, to live as long as I can, hopefully well into my 90s and have my cognitive abilities and everything else about me. Those are my goals. So, you know, I think they're good. I think they're obtainable goals. And the research that I've read has been done on humans, and it works. And for me right at the moment, it is working, and I'm discovering new things to eat every day, and I am a happy camper.
That is awesome. Hey, we're going to let's take a break. When we come back, let me read the question here, unless it scrolls too far up and I can't miss it, and we'll address this as soon as we come back from the commercial break. It says, Doc, I had another thought about my chick. We just treated all of our dogs and cats for tapeworm. Should I now also treat the chickens? And we will answer that question as soon as we return from the short commercial break. We're talking with Peter Brown, also known as the Chicken Doctor, founder of First State Vet Supply today, for our Fun Friday show. And we'll return with more Ask the Chicken Doctor right after this short break. Ware Manufacturing has been building quality hutches since 1983. Ware manufactures modern chicken hutches, barns, pens, and nest boxes designed especially for the backyard flock. Ware offers hutches and pens for every yard size and every chicken keeper's budget. Visit their website at waremfginc.com. That's waremfginc.com. Or call them to find a retailer near you at 1-888-824-7257. Ware Manufacturing.
Since 1921, Stromberg's has been a family-owned and operated business, providing quality poultry and poultry supplies to their customers. Today, the Stromberg family offers over 200 different breeds of poultry, including chickens, waterfowl, and game birds. They also offer poultry supplies for the beginner or advanced poultry keeper. Stromberg should be on the top of your list when it comes time to order. Shop online at www.strombergschickens.com or call today at 1-800-720-1134. Remember, that's strombergschickens.com.
When you need an incubator, think Brensey, the incubation specialist. Brensey has been a world-leading manufacturer of incubators for over 30 years. Incubators from 7 to 380 eggs with high-quality electronic and digital controls, including precise humidity control and programmable egg turning, all at surprisingly affordable prices. Visit them online at Brensey.com. Brensey spelled B-R-I-N-S-E-A. That's Brensey.com or call 1-888-667-7009. Enter the coupon code WHISPER at checkout and save 10% on their incubators, brooders, egg handlers, and other incubation accessories. When you need an incubator, think Brensey, technology you can trust.
You have the chickens, the coop, and the run, but do you have the egg cartons? Don't put your beautiful farm fresh eggs in any old used grocery store egg carton. Impress your friends with your very own custom labeled egg cartons from eggcartons.com. They have a large selection of custom egg cartons, stamps, and labels to choose from. Pick out your new custom egg cartons at eggcartons.com. That's eggcartons.com.
This looks like a job for
Super Chicken.
You get the super sauce, I'll don my super suit.
Alrighty, thank you very much for staying with us today on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. It is Fun Friday, And we're very pleased to welcome Peter Brown, also known as the Chicken Doctor, today. And it's just we just got several little topics that we're talking about today, trying to cover some information. And we had a question in the chat room before we went to commercial break about she had just wormed her dogs and wanted to know if she should just go ahead and didn't say she had them tested to see if she had them or not, but just curious if she should go ahead and for tapeworm that was, if she should go ahead and treat her chickens. Oh, there we go.
I could go and look it up. I'm almost sure that the mode of transmission of the canine tapeworm is through a flea bite. It has to do with fleas. So I'm going to say that it probably is somewhat remote, but it never hurts to worm your chickens every now and then anyway. Again, I go back and talk about worming chickens and looking at being a poop inspector. We've talked about that. I think it's a smart way to decide whether you need to do anything. Generally, if you have a infection of worms, you're going to see it in the bird's droppings at some point. So I'm still going to look at it and say that this is going to be a little bit tough to. I could look it up. I'm almost thinking it's like coccidiosis, where it's host specific. I've actually never been asked that question before, but it is a relevant question, and I wouldn't mind looking it up and answering it, sending the answer to you, Andy. You can send it on or whatever, but I can look it up. I just don't remember it really going down that way. I almost remember the canine and the chicken worms pretty much staying to themselves. But there does seem to be an infection in humans, as I recall, from tapeworms, but it comes from coming in direct contact with the fecal matter and having to ingest it and stuff. And it doesn't have to be that you have to have a boatload of the stuff that you're eating, fly or whatever, a gnat getting onto the infected feces and then picking that up on their feet and transferring it to something you may be eating or something along those lines. It's generally the way those things happen, and it's a process too, where the worm has to be ingested and then basically digested to release the eggs into the digestive system. So I'm going to go out on a little bit of a limb and say that it's probably not anything to worry about, but I would probably become a poop inspector, and if you feel like you got a problem or something, then I would use some Valbaisin and see if you can't take care of the problem that way. But that's the best answer I can give right at the moment without going and looking it up.
Okay, very good. Thank you for that, and we appreciate you. We've come to know that you're not going to BS or anything like that. So
doesn't help anybody.
Nope, exactly. Hey, I got a couple of reports that you're very faint. If you could actually just speak up just a little bit louder so everybody can hear you, that would, because they love the information they're getting.
Okay.
They just have their computer all the way turned up. And then, of course, I put myself on mute because it eliminates some of the background noise here, even though I have a noise-canceling mic sometimes. We do that, so I do that for that reason as well. So
when you just came back on now, there's a bunch of noise on the line. And I don't think it's on my end. I just had mine all reworked here because several times in the past there was complaints about, volume, noise, this, that, and the other thing. So I had a friend of mine that does telephone work. I had him come out and
gotcha.
rework the whole box outside the house, and there were lines that they're still active, but they really weren't being used, and we put them somewhere else so they don't interfere with this line. So it's kind of like a direct line.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're saying you sound a lot better now. So let's cover. We've got about 15 minutes. So let's, if you've got one more topic you want to try to cover in about 15 minutes, we can do it.
Yeah, this would play to the gal with the enteritis type thing. More and more, we're going to see a move away from antibiotics. Eventually, you will see movements away from chemical wormers. And I am actually, amongst all the other crazy things I do, I am interested in coming up with a line of more natural products, because I realize that there are people who just don't want to do the chemical worming and the other things. So I have spent a very large amount of time coming up with some ideas about some different things. I've got a lot of irons in the fire, but we will see eventually a huge movement away from antibiotics, and then we will have to come up with some more natural ways of doing things. And we can probably even expand that out to Monday's subject if you like. We can go and probably talk about some of those things that I've been playing around with and looking at and seeing what's going on. But one of those products I've sold for well over 30 years, and I'm a firm, true believer in it. I was a fan of it before it ever became popular. We have talked about it on the show in the past. I think it's apropos and a good reason to bring it up now, and unbeknownst to me, I didn't know anybody was going to call in with a gut problem. But lots of times now, and people are reluctant to buy this product sometimes because maybe of the cost, but the fact that they think that by giving the birds yogurt that this is a better deal, while giving a live culture yogurt is a good thing, it is by far more costly and not near as strong as a pure probiotic type product. So what we were going to talk about today, and we'll talk about here over the next 15, 20 minutes, is the use of probiotics, what it means to use it, what it does, what it is, and how you go about using it, and so on and so forth. So if you look at the gut of any animal, human or otherwise, there are a group of bacteria that live in your intestine that are good, and there are some that are not good. It is the balance of the good versus the bad that keeps the bad guys in check. This was discovered many, many years ago. I worked back then with a Japanese company. I can't even remember their name, but they had brought it out and wanted it in a feed additive. The idea was to sell it to the commercial poultry industry because that's where the money is, where the volume is. And at any rate, because at the time poultry companies were pelleting their feed or crumbling their feed and had to put it through a pellet mill where the heat is high, a lot of the probiotic was killed off. So it didn't come to fruition back then. It wasn't a thing that was viable. Commercial poultry industry is kind of funny, as we've spoken about before. If they can't see the dollar value, they're not going to do it. You can espouse how good it is all day long, but if it doesn't come out in a processing plant in pounds per gain of money spent, they're not going to spend it, and that's just the way it is. So, but a probiotic means pro-life, basically, is what it means. And this is a group of gut-friendly bacteria that have been shown grow and do well in the intestine of many different species, man included. People take probiotics now all the time. It comes in a pill form or a capsule form. This particular product comes in a powdered form. You put it in the drinking water. So what it is a product that means it's pro-life. It is a all basically, if you will, natural product. These are bacteria that are considered benign, meaning that they don't cause disease. They're not capable of causing disease. And they do a couple of interesting things. And again, we're going to see more and more of this kind of thing over the years. We're going to see pieces of the immune system used, pieces of other entities that are found to be present in the presence of bacteria when the immune system is fighting off naturally a disease organism. So what we're going to see is those things that are there naturally besides the immune system itself. We're going to see these peptides or proteins that have the ability to fight off things. We're going to see them made larger or exacerbated, so to speak. They will be brought to the forefront. People are working on it. I've been in communication with some people that have been working on some of these things for over 30 years. This is their life. This is their career. This is what they do. And so, and they're making progress in all areas. They're making progress in chickens. They're making progress in pigs and cattle, because that's going to be the new kid on the block. That's going to be the new thing down the road. You know, and again, the movement will be away from antibiotics. We're seeing it more and more. A lot of your countries will not buy poultry from the United States if there's been antibiotics used in them at all. And this is what it is. And the main ingredient at this point in time in basically any good probiotic is Lactobacillus acidophilus. And I know that's a mouthful, but what it basically does is a couple of things. It will, once it's ingested or it's in the bird's digestive system, it will start producing acid. And when you produce this acid, you will start to change the pH of the intestine. When you do that, it makes it more difficult for the bacteria that don't belong there to live there. So they can't set up shop as a general rule, and then they'll be defecated out in the droppings. And this keeps the bird healthy. And the other thing that it does that's really, really important is that it will compete for space on the gut wall, or if you like, the intestinal wall. And so what does that mean to you? Well, a lot of bacteria, including E. coli and stuff, will actually attach itself to the gut wall and start to break that down and give off toxins and so on. And a properly or a well-populated intestine that has a good group of the Lactobacillus acidophilus in it will keep them from attaching themselves. And between that and the production of acid, they kind of keep on moving. And so they don't allow them to get started. And any good Lactobacillus probiotic product is not just pure Lactobacillus. Usually have a supporting cast of others that help change the pH as well, and they produce this what's called lactic acid. And then there's an enzyme called amylase, A-M-Y-L-A-S-E, that's produced as well. And this is a supporting cast, so to speak, so that the main ingredient, the Lactobacillus acidophilus, is able to survive. There are a whole slew of others not necessarily worthy of going into right at the moment. We can do that later, or we can finish up the rest of that on Monday or whenever. But the lining of the intestine on a normal day has a light mucus coating to it, and that's what helps make things stay moist, creates the environment for these bacteria to live in. And when birds are stressed, this is why we see birds that are, we see it in almost all animals, when they're under stress, we see this diarrhea condition. And a lot of this is caused by hormones that cause stress within the bird system and produce a deterioration, so to speak, of this mucus lining of the intestine. And then you get a breakdown then of this chain of events that are supposed to take place with the good bacteria. The pH will change. You get a rise in the pH. Which allows the E. coli, Salmonella, and other guys to move in, set up shop, and start causing you grief. E. coli gives off a very deadly toxin, and you've heard me speak about this before, whether it was for coccidiosis or other intestinal things, but if you were to look at your hand and hold it up in front of your face, pretend that your fingers are the villi of the intestine, okay? And in the bottom of the V of each finger, as you run your finger over of your left hand, I'm right-handed, so hold up my right hand, but run your finger down, and just so you get the gist of what I'm talking about, you've got 1, 2, 3, 4 spots there where food nutrients will be absorbed at the base of the villi. When you get these toxins that are produced, it will cut off these villi. They eventually can grow back in a good environment, but that's not basically what I'm going to talk about here. When they get sheared off or taken out by the toxins from the E. coli, then you've got a smooth surface. Now you don't have as much surface area because the villi will absorb some down in the bottom of the villi where the next one starts and stuff. And that V is where the real nutrients are absorbed. So you can see that the lack of those is going to allow the food to move through at a faster pace, less of the nutrients being absorbed into the gut wall so the bird doesn't get as much out of the feed. Sometimes it isn't necessarily the feed. It's the problems associated with an intestinal problem. So this person that was talking about this necrotic enteritis, if that's going on, that's a horrendous deal for the intestine. That's a complete breakdown of not only the villi, but the lining of the intestine. Now we're really starting to get into some heavy-duty stuff, and that bird, you know, eventually those kind of birds just don't survive, and fixing them sometimes, depending on what stage they're in, can be just a huge undertaking. So, you know, when we look at these things, we have to look at what it does. And so the stress, I've talked about this before, the heat stress. And I want to just stop for a moment. Man, get out there in this heat today and get that water out there, get some fresh water out, get some shade, get some vitamins, electrolytes in that water. You want to make those birds retain all the water they can today. It's extremely important that you do that. Okay, and again, this is a huge stress on these birds. So if they're in an area where there's a direct sunlight, find them some shade, put up a tarp, do something. We talked about this several weeks ago before the Memorial Day weekend about prepping and getting ready for it. If you can't do anything but get them a place where you can put some fogged water over top of them to create an evaporative cooling effect. It's just critical. I mean, we had 97 degrees here yesterday, and I'm going to tell you, it's just ugly. And, you know, it's summertime. Yep, I expect it. It's hot, especially up here where I'm at. I don't know about where the rest of you are, but it gets humid as all get out here, and it makes it uncomfortable to even breathe the damn air. But so get out there and do something for those birds. Put some ice in their drinkers and whatever you want to do along those lines. Andy, you haven't mentioned it, but if you don't mind, I'll go ahead and mention it. If you need more water as a reaching out to anybody that's out there, you go to my website, and the 1 gallon twist lock water fountain, which I believe is to be the best one that's made. It's heavy duty plastic. The base is larger than the others. I have sold them forever for $4.95. Anybody that wants to buy them through now, through 8 o'clock Monday morning, on the website only, you can get 2 for the price of 1. So you're looking at
nice. At
$4.95 split by 2, you can get 2 1-gallon waterers. This is not a blow-molded product. This is an injection-molded product, and I'll explain the difference. The injection-molded is heavy plastic. This has ribs going down the side to reinforce it. The top is such that you can grab them and carry them if your fingers are strong enough, and the bottom doesn't fall off because it permanently locks on. The bottom fits first time every time. They're just really, really nice, and the base is bigger. More birds can drink at the same time. I don't even carry the others. The others are made in China, and they are blow molded. The top is slick. The top is a see-through thing. If there's any drawback to this one that I sell is that you can't see inside to see the water. But because it's injection molded, it's smoother inside. There are less pores for bacteria to build up, so you get less slime and junk growing inside. It's a healthier environment for the water. It's a healthier environment for your bird. I'm not pushing them. I'm not making a dime on them at this price. This is just to all the people that listen. If you need more waterers, now's the time to get them. You'll just pay the shipping and stuff on them, but you will get, and if you order 10, you're only going to really be paying for 5. And it may say that. It'll all be adjusted here. I'm not going to go to the site and change it. It's a big pain in the butt. But anybody, I don't care who they are listening, if you call up your friend and tell them they want to buy some, I don't care. It's, you know, you're going to get 2 for $4.95. That's the way it is. And,
sweet.
It's a good product, and it is well made. You'll see that. And I go to the shows and sell them actually for less money than $4.95 when I bring them to the shows. I don't know why I do that, but I do it. And because I'm bringing it to them, they don't have to pay shipping, so go figure. But at any rate, everybody that has bought them, to my knowledge, has really liked them. It's a good, solid product. And not only that, if you're buying them and you don't need them over the wintertime, they stack. They test one inside of the other so that, you know, 10 of them doesn't take up your entire barn and that kind of thing. And so that offer is out there for anybody that wants to take advantage of that. So I just wanted to get that part in. I wanted to get the part in about this heat. And I know a lot of people take care of their birds and everything else, but a lot of people, you know, figure they're outside and that's nature and that's the way it's supposed to be. Well, I don't think I'd want to be outside, you know, running all around and not have any fresh, decent water to drink. So
mm-hmm.
It's just something that I think, you know, people should do and take better care of their birds from that standpoint. And they will die on you. I've had several people over the last couple of weeks when we've had these hot spells with, you know, problems with birds, you know, not doing well in the heat. And I've had a couple that have had them succumb to it. And they will. They'll just have a heart attack and die on you. They get the breathing so bad. By the time you have a bird out there and their mouth is wide open and their mouth breathing and they're panting like crazy and they're standing still, they're already in trouble. And you need to do something to mitigate that as quickly as you can. So,
one real quick question before I forget, because they were wanting to know in the chat room. You had mentioned a wormer, and I was going to have you tell them what she was talking about, the tapeworm and other just worming her chickens in general.
Yeah.
That wormer that you love mm-hmm. to tell us about.
Yeah, it's called Valbazin. Active ingredient is albendazole. That's a 100-mil bottle for $26. On an individual bird basis, if you're worming them individually, it'll worm about 400 chickens or plus. I haven't figured out how much it will by putting it in the water, but you'll receive a separate set of directions that are too lengthy to be put on a little tiny bottle for putting it in the water. The directions
right.
on the bottle will be for individual bird treatment, but attached to your invoice would be another one that will explain how to mix it up. If you have any questions about the directions, as always, you can always either email me or call me. Sometimes when I write the directions, it's kind of like knowing the answer to something, you know what I mean? And I write it out, and it's crystal clear to me, but it might be Greek to you, so I don't want that. And I want everybody that gets directions from me to, you know, fully understand them. And sometimes that isn't always the case, but, you know, I try to correct it whenever I can. If people make me aware of it, I'm glad to spend the time that it takes to fix that situation. But, again, going back to this is a preventative product, this probiotic. Getting back on Andy, I don't know how long you want to go. It makes no difference to me. So
whenever you wrap up with probiotic, we'll wrap it up. That's fine.
All right. And it's a preventative product. It's meant to be used as such. And again, we go back to looking at the pH ranges that go on in birds. You want to keep something for optimal growth in the intestine. A little bit over 5, but not above 7 pH. And bear in mind that, lucky for us, the bad guys can't live in that lower pH. They like the much higher pH. Over 7 to 9 is where the bad guys like to live. So you can see right off the bat by using this stuff, having that two-pronged approach to it, where you have the Lactobacillus acidophilus competing for space on the gut wall, and then you have it producing that acid, makes it tough for these guys to set up shop. Using a probiotic every day, I recommend it to start it off that way, but not to finish that way, probably every couple, 3 days. So if you did it Monday, maybe Wednesday, maybe Friday, and that kind of thing. We have found out over the years that the production of too much acid puts them into a diarrhea state, and we don't want that either. So what this should do for you is to tighten up the dropping quite a bit, okay? And if you're not getting that, then you need to cut back on the amount that you're using or the frequency that you're using. I deal with, some people might not know this, but I have a decent following of people who race pigeons. And I, back in 1980s, middle 80s, somewhere in there, I wrote a pigeon health program that's still valid today. And these guys won't tolerate a pigeon with a loose dropping, or I mean, they won't tolerate a pigeon with anything. Basically, they're not anal about it. And but anyway, they love this product because in their world, we only use, and just gives you an idea how powerful this product is, they use an eighth of a teaspoon per gallon of water, and the droppings just tighten up to little marbles. And you know, so they like it. In chickens, we use it. We kind of pulse dose it in the beginning. I believe it's, I don't know, 2 or 3 teaspoons per gallon of water the first day, and then a teaspoon or so after that. But it comes with directions like everything else. But the whole point of the matter is we're moving away from antibiotics eventually, and this is basically the beginning area. We're moving away to nutritional things that are to be given to birds in the beginning before you even give them feed. My Chick Saver is one. It is the exact same thing as the Grow Gel B. I buy it from the same manufacturer. I just buy it in huge quantities and then put it into my own containers and stuff with the proper directions and so on. And those type of products, you're going to see more and more of that. You may eventually even see the commercial poultry industry go to it so that birds get off to a better start. And you can also use the Grow Gel for birds that are ill. It's a great product to give them. We find many, many times that birds that are ill will eat wet feed before they eat dry. And I don't know whether that's a response to the fact that they may be looking for hydration and find it in that wet feed. I have no idea as to, you know, exactly why that happens the way it does. But we also see with these probiotics, we see enhancement of the immune system. And a way that's measured is to they do an analysis on the immune system as to how many more immune cells are present when they use the product than it was before they used the product. So what you're really doing is you're improving the intestinal flora so that the bird can get better nutrition and more absorption, or better absorption, if you will, of the nutrients. It improves the overall environment that the bird has in the intestine. And, you know, the research is there. It's been done over the years where they see birds that, you know, have this, have less trouble with coccidiosis, less trouble other contaminants such as the E. coli, salmonella, maybe even the Clostridium perfringens. I've not seen anything directly on the Clostridium perfringens, but I can't see why that wouldn't work. This kind of works like what we might call competitive exclusion. If one thing is dominant to another because of a change it makes that the other can't make, then it's kind of like a competition, and the winner is the one that can produce the acid, which changes the environment so the other guy can't stay at home. So that is an important aspect of this particular product. It's a great product, is readily available, and there are... like I said, there are other ingredients that are in it besides the Lactobacillus acidophilus, and I'll just mention them. Lactobacillus casei, spelled C-A-S-E-I, Bifidobacterium bifidium. This is found in mother's milk, so you can in the intestines of men and mammals. Streptococcus faecium, and this is another product that helps to produce lactic acid as well. And then the Turrilopsis, which is a culture of yeast. It's the supposedly the mother of all yeasts. And the enzyme cellulase. And there are other products. that are coming down the pike that are used, where there are digestive enzymes coming along that will help break down feed of problem birds and those kinds of things. I do want to mention a couple of things before we depart here. I'm pretty much done with the probiotic. Anybody has any questions, they can always email me or however they choose to do it. But this is a very beneficial product and a very healthy product for the birds. But our friend up in New England who has been doing this trial with the products that we talked about with the aggressive behavior and stuff, I spoke to him this morning. He has collected all of the data, but due to a serious family health problem, he's not able to put it all together right at this point. But I did speak to him about it, and what we're seeing, or he's seeing, I should say, is more eggs. The birds, for whatever reason, are preening more, where he had birds before that would preen on occasion. And now it's not uncommon to look out over the flock at any given time and see a bunch of birds doing it. The overall behavior is better and less aggressive. The sheen on the bird's feathers is by far better. The redness of the comb and wattles and the yellowness of the face and legs is better. This does not surprise me. I did not taint his thoughts in any way, shape, or form. I kept my nose out of it, other than to revel in the information that he has given to me on occasion. We will eventually have something that will be written down, which is kind of neat. So I applaud his work. He is actually, the original products were given to him to do this trial without any stipulations. It was his idea to do all of this, keep track of it, and I thank him for his continued efforts on that part. But it is a tremendous thing for us as backyard folk. As we look at this, this is stuff you don't get anywhere, but right here. This is real. This is live. This is a man's time, effort. So he has gone and ordered at least one of the products that he wants to stay on. But I will tell you this, this is nothing new to me. This is what we've seen. This just validates what I say, what I do. I have other people, and I don't know if anybody recalls it, but basically everybody that I've sent product to free off of this show has come back with positive results. Is that not true?
Believe so.
You know, and I've got some offline. Everybody that, you know, it's to me it's not necessarily proper for me to offer somebody to go and buy a product from me and then have them come back and, say it didn't work. We don't know what the heck is going on the other end. Everything is an educated guess. And we put our best foot forward to try to help somebody with these issues. I had somebody here not too long ago. They may be listening. I would never mention somebody's name without asking. But this particular person had a particular bird that was not fertile. And the bird is a valuable bird to this individual, a part of the breeding program, an important part. And I got an email. I started working with this individual. Now, this individual did buy the products, okay? And, I'm grateful for that, but I'm also grateful for the fact that it worked. It worked. The roux is now producing fertile eggs. Wasn't doing it before this. So it proves to me that there are problems nutritionally, whether this is the type of food, the quality of the food, a genetic problem, an unforeseen or unseen intestinal problem, I don't know. But I can tell you this, that these things, in the majority of the cases, do work. And I have the emails to prove that. I have the information from this individual up there in Massachusetts that has done an outstanding job of collecting information, feed conversion, feed consumption, water consumption, overall behavior. Still got one bad actor that hasn't gotten the message yet and may never. You know, we talked about that when we talked about behavioral problems and stuff. Some may just never go away, and how important it is when you've got birds, and we don't think of it this way, but and in many sense, they're not different than humans. 4 to 6 weeks of age, they've already learned the bad habits. They may carry on with them the rest of their adult life as chickens. So it's to your advantage when you see birds that are not getting along in the brooder, you may be do well to separate them if you have that opportunity, because they may be your nightmare in coming weeks as they mature and keep these bad habits. Doesn't mean it can cure all the bad habits. Sometimes, as we all know, and I'm not necessarily a big fan of this either, but sometimes the only thing is the axe,
yep.
You know, or a set of perfect peepers. And he is on this one particular offending bird. Everybody else has settled down. The pecking at the feeders and the drinkers, for the most part, have subsided. And he does believe it's nutritional. We had a long conversation this morning of well over half an hour in relation to all of this. So, in looking at it, in the scheme of things, I think it's very important to make sure that you're getting the best feed that your money you can get. And if you're not happy, go somewhere else. And I'm not at liberty, nor would I mention different suppliers, but they're not all created equal.
Mm-hmm.
That I can tell you. So
absolutely.
And when somebody tells you they're getting something cheap somewhere else, I'm not for overspending, but I can tell you for the most part, I'd run like hell. I just seen it too many times, and I don't know about your feelings, Andy.
No, I've heard it a lot too from a particular, at least one, and sometimes two other websites, and that they've come back, and you know the people were not knowledgeable. It was like walking into a Walmart to buy something to treat your birds with, or even sometimes other stores, and you just walk in. There's no help. There's no knowledgeable help.
Yep.
And they just buy this. It's a dollar cheaper. Buy this. So I don't know how to mix it. Sorry, I can't help you. Or they'll make up some story. Yeah, there's value there in that and what you do. Someone had posted a link to the water at your website, firststatevetsupply.com. The 1 gallon twist lock fount. It's $4.95. Mm-hmm. And this new fount is practically unbreakable. The jar is now ribbed for extra strength as pictured. It is injection molded instead of blow molded for a much smoother inside with no turned in bottom lip to hold back water and have a buildup of unfriendly bacteria. The red base attracts birds, so they'll drink more. The jar has a seven inch mouth that is easy to twist. The base looks and twists instantly. The jar and base are both nestable for minimum space and shipping and storage. So $4.95. Right now you can see it on their website. The link was posted in the chat room. But actually you're going to get, if you can order between now and Sunday at midnight, you'll get two for the price of one.
I'll let it go to 8 a.m. Monday if they want. So,
8 a.m.
And everything
Monday
that comes in on the web is date stamped, so I'll know when it came in. I mean, if somebody missed it by 5 minutes, I'm not going to cry. Okay, I'm not that anal about something, but it's an opportunity for people to get a true bargain, in my opinion. That you can go back and look. That price has never changed. I've not changed it to make another nickel. This is just because I want to do it. That's that. So it has nothing to do with the cost of it or anything else. And I'm not concerned about making money on this issue. If people truly need them, they're there. So for every one you buy, you're going to get two. So
I just put in the chat room. I was like, wow, not one but two 1 gallon waterers for $4.95.
Yep.
You're not going to beat that anywhere.
Nope.
Anywhere. Bottom line, I don't care. Go try to find it. And
quality. You know, you can find. You know, my father used to say.
I don't think you can find two for $4.95.
You know, you won't even find one good one for $4.95 that in those other brands and. You know, my father used to say years ago, you know, if you want good, clean oats, they come at a price. If you want them after they come through the horse, they're a lot cheaper. And, that statement stands today. You can always find something cheaper, but can you find the quality for that cheaper price? And as a general rule, you generally can't. And, like I said, I'm doing this because I want to do it. No other reason. You know, nobody asked me to do it. Andy, you didn't ask me to do it. It's just it's kind of like a gift. It's hot, and it's more about the birds. Everybody knows that's how I feel about it, and we'll go with it from there. If they want them, they're there. If they don't, that's okay too.
Perfect. Yep. No, absolutely. So we've got that link in there in the chat room. I'm going to be posting it on Facebook because that's a phenomenal deal. And then you had mentioned earlier the name of that wormer. And let's see, there was one more thing. If you'll mention the name of the probiotic that you recommend also from your store.
Okay, it's just called Probiotic, P-R-O-B-I-O-T-I-C, and it's product G as in George, F as in Frank, number 10. So if they just Google probiotic, it should come up. If they have a problem with that, just email me and I'll direct them to it for sure. Even the person that is interested in the situation with the dog tapeworms versus the chicken tapeworms, if they would shoot me an email, I would be glad to answer that question for them. And if I don't know, can't find it in my literature, I will get a hold of somebody that can.
Picklefish in the chat room says, call now, and every customer gets a free cardboard box your cat can play in. Yep, that'll be thrown in with the waterer when it's shipped to you. There you go. A free cardboard box that your cat can play with.
But, yeah, it's one of those things. Just watch that heat out there. It's a nasty, nasty thing. And we've got a fogging device on the website, and I want to change it. In my opinion, it's a great product, but it's a little on the expensive side. So what I'm going to change it to is a single nozzle. Right now we give you about four nozzles with it, and the thing is set up so that if you wanted to expand it, you could. So what I'm thinking is just give them all the parts, let them glue it together themselves, and sell it for like $10. So that's a thought. Anybody wants that, they can order that and put it in the comment section that they want the kit, and I'll send that to them, and they'll get one nozzle. They'll get the special tee to put the nozzle in. They'll get all of the pieces of pipe cut. All they got to do is buy a bottle of glue and glue it together and hook their hose to it and then go off. And they've got a this would be similar to the foggers that you would see at the amusement park where they put high pressure in one end and it comes out at 0.8 gallon per hour. And the higher the pressure, the better the spray will be.
Bard Rock in the chat room says, thanks, Doc. You're a great man. And I happened to put in there, I went, shh, his head will get as big as mine if you're not careful.
No, I don't think so. You know,
you're not that type. I know.
If it ever did get big, it sure as hell was brought back to reality on February 6th at 9:50 in the morning. My brother, now introduces me, or when he calls me, he says, what's going on, heart attack boy? So that's the way it goes. But in all reality, it is hot out there, guys, and just take as good a care of your birds as you're capable of doing, and I hope everything works out for everybody. I'm going to hopefully have some new products up on the site here in the next day or two. We did get in
some.
When's
the new website going to be up?
I'll tell you what. I don't know. I'm hoping very shortly as far as the new web store is concerned, because all I can offer you right now is ground shipping. But anybody that needs any other kind of shipping, wants to go through the post office, just needs to email that in their comment section, and I'll get back to them with the proper amounts and stuff. But It's a pain. It's probably costing me business, but there isn't a lot I could do. It's not necessarily my fault. The post office just decided that the software that we use to run that store, they didn't want. It's because I don't use their one-size-fits-all box, and I don't do it because the majority of my stuff won't fit in it. See, when it went to that one-size fits all box, they lowered the height by 3 inches. Well, that kind of screws me into the ground. Everything I got's tall, And so I just don't bother with it. So the new one, while their software will have that, we just won't turn that portion on. So they didn't want to support the old one anymore, and I didn't have enough time notice from them to get the other one up and running. It's almost complete from what I understand, but hopefully in the next couple of weeks we'll get that one up. It's actually a better site. It'll be secure, just like this one is, and everything else. And that's a pain in the neck. You have to get the security thing switched over, and it all takes time. And stuff that I don't do, so I'm relying on somebody else to do it, And even that person's got issues, too, with family and stuff. It's a damn nightmare.
Mm-hmm.
When you have somebody who passes away in the family, and then the fight's on for the proceeds, if you know what I'm saying. So, and it's not this person doing it. So it's just one of those things. And then, the person that thinks that they should be in charge hires an attorney. Then the estate has to hire an attorney. And guess who wins? We all know that game, don't we?
Exactly.
So,
Poet's wife put in the chat room, Doc answers emails and he'll even call you. He said, one time my husband gave me the hairy eyeball, telling me that there was a man on the phone for me. She said, I was up a ladder cleaning gutters, but I would climb down to talk to Peter.
Well, I appreciate that, but since the heart attack, I've been a little lax getting back, because when I stress out, I shut down and that's it. And I can't allow it to happen as much as I have. Actually, I've been working way, way too late, 10, 11 o'clock at night. But I try to contain it and do the best I can. If I haven't gotten back to you, just keep bugging me with your email. I will eventually get to you. It's not that I'm trying to totally ignore you. It's just that I've got a little bit different drummer to dance to these days, and I think most people can understand that.
Absolutely. Hey, thank you very much, as always. Thanks for rescheduling your day. Hey,
sure.
Good luck at cardiac rehab later this afternoon. Hope you have a great weekend, and lo and behold, you'll be back on Monday. We look forward to seeing you then.
I do, too. I'll be there.
All righty. See you then, Doc. Thanks
so much. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. What a fabulous show. Tons and tons of information was covered. All kinds of different topics were covered. So I hope you took a lot of notes in your Chicken Whisperer Spiral Notebook that you keep by your computer for the experts that we have on the show here on a regular basis. So with that, we are going to wrap it up. Make sure you take advantage of that deal. Holy cow. Not one. One's not good enough. 2 1-gallon waterers, heavy duty, quality made, 2 1-gallon waterers for $4.95. Are you serious? So take advantage of that. If you're interested in the probiotics, you get that while you're there. Also, the vitamins and electrolytes that he mentioned that he does carry for this extensive heat wave that we've got, and it's just not even July yet. So that would be a good, that would be a great purchase for you since summer is here. And I have to tell you, on the 20th, apparently the 20th was the longest day of the year, and that happens to be my wife's birthday, and she says, hey, I get to celebrate my birthday longer than anybody else. Because I guess, her birthday is on the 20th, which is, on a regular basis, all the time. The first day of summer or something, anyway, longest day of the year. So she's like, I get to celebrate my birthday longer than anybody else, because it's the longest day of the year. Gotta love it, folks. Well, hey, thanks for tuning in. It's Fun Friday, and it was an educational Friday today with Peter Brown, the Chicken Doctor. We hope you enjoyed the show, and we hope you will continue to listen in. Thanks to all of our guests for tuning in today. We appreciate you, which we do, and we hope you'll come back and register and join us in the chat room as well. And it says, big love from Norway, from Andreas in the chat room. Thank you very much. We hope everybody has a fabulous, wonderful, and blessed weekend. This weekend, Peter Brown, the Chicken Doctor, will be back this coming Monday, as always, his regular day. And two little quick reminders, actually three. Head on over to firststatevetsupply.com. Take advantage of those one-gallon waterers for two for $4.95, the probiotic and the vitamins and electrolytes. And then number two, if there's some egg cartons you need or something you can't find at First State, we've got that coupon code all month long at eggcartons.com. That's 20% off your $50 purchase, which boils down to $10 off your $50 purchase. So your $50 purchase will bring it down to $40. And then finally, last but definitely not least, if you can find it in your heart, in your wallet, to whether it's $2, $20, or $200, we've all been touched by cancer somehow, parents, loved ones, brothers, sisters, husbands, wives, children. And a fellow chicken lover is going through a tough time now with her husband, Keith, with stage 4 cancer, and she would love nothing else but to take him on a dream trout fishing vacation for just 1 week. That's all she's asking. And we hate for her to have to sell her chickens to try to drum up money to do this, because she needs those chickens. Her family needs those chickens to support her income. She sells hatching eggs. She sells the chicks, the breeder pairs. So, and plus, not even mention that, the emotional tie that she has with her chickens. So if you can, make that donation so they can go on this beautiful and wonderful dream trout fishing vacation. $2 is all we ask would be beneficial. So we hope you all have an absolutely fabulous Friday, a fabulous weekend, and we will all see you back here Monday, 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And real quick, let me look at the calendar here. And let's see, next Monday, the Peter Brown, the Chicken Doctor. Next Tuesday, author Christine Heinrich with Society for Preservation of Poultry Antiquities. Next Wednesday, I'm trying to get Toby, the owner of Crazy K Farm, on. Next Thursday is Richard Frubenberger, publisher of Back Home Magazine. And next Friday, the 29th, we're giving away that awesome chicken coop from MyPetChicken.com. Giving away that chicken coop next Friday the 29th. Have you registered to win? Visit our Facebook page, facebook.com/thechickenwhisperer, and then click on the coop contest button, and you can register very quickly to win that awesome chicken coop valued at about $500 from mypetchicken.com. Have a great weekend, everybody. We'll see you on Monday.
¶¶